Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
We're talking about the history of humanity and how we have been influenced. And it's like we deserve to know that, and we deserve the technologies that are being suppressed.
We're being exposed to only so much information. We're not being fully educated. There's a difference.
What percentage of UAP sightings, in your belief, go unreported by our pilots?
I would estimate we're somewhere near 5% reporting, perhaps. 5% reporting.
There isn't
perhaps.
Anything, then why the push to cover it up? Then why the
We must
push
guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
By then, I had already accepted this new paradigm of there being, as Senator Inouye said, and I'm quoting, there's a secret government with its own Air Force,
its own Navy, its own fundraising mechanism, and the ability to pursue its own ideas of the national interest, free from all checks and balances, and free from the law itself. Free from the law itself.
Thank you for tuning into our podcast. We have created a referendum known as the It Can't Be a Joke Revolution and Initiatives. This is a movement of thought and consciousness. Our mission is to educate and plant the seeds of curiosity surrounding the issues that we deem most critical, with the goal of freeing humanity from the powers that seek to hold us down.
We use this as an opportunity to not only expose the corruption in our country and world, but to discuss the importance of consciousness, self-awareness, and spiritual evolution as we seek to crack the riddles of life and our purpose on this planet.
Melissa.
Kevin.
Let's blast off.
Let's. Welcome back, everybody, for another exciting episode from It Can't Be a Joke. It's finally cooling off here in Massachusetts. It really feels like fall.
The leaves are already starting to change on some trees. Even a month ago, we noticed, we think it's a maple. We're not sure, but
it is a maple.
It is a maple.
Yeah.
Bright red. In August.
It's still hot out.
Yeah, it was still, you know, sometimes getting to 90s, early, low 90s, but it seems strange that some of the leaves are already changing in August to bright red.
People are saying that they are dying earlier now.
When there's a drought, that can cause the trees to basically go into reserve mode, and they'll lose their leaves earlier if they're not getting enough water.
Okay.
So fall, that's what they were saying.
Someone said that this happened last year too, which was my first fall here, so I don't know if I noticed it or didn't notice it, I guess I should say.
If you've never been to New England during fall, it's unreal beautiful.
We have a very interesting little tale to tell you today. We had an interesting experience over Labor Day weekend that we thought we want to get the documentary done, but we had to do a really quick podcast on this topic.
It happened in the woods of Vermont.
The Green Mountains.
So let's take you there now. So it's Labor Day weekend, just the other week. When we have time, we like to get up to New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine.
Go sightseeing.
Go road trip around and
hike, go to the lakes and streams up there. It's so beautiful. It's endless.
You never run out of things to do. And Vermont and New Hampshire, and I'm sure a lot of Maine, we haven't explored as much of Maine. It is Nebraska meets mountains. There's so many farms all over the place. You'll see cattle. You'll see cornfields some places. You'll see beet fields.
Yeah, we discovered how incredibly remote the whole state is. It's not, compared to even New Hampshire, there's more little towns and cities where Vermont is just, the whole state is remote. It's so cool.
We discovered a new small town called Brandon, and made a new friend there, Ed.
Yeah, shout out to Ed.
And his wife.
Yeah, they live on a really cool street in downtown Brandon where the house is. They're all old brick houses. Some of them are that Victorian style that are painted with these vibrant colors, and it's a really cool little town. So basically, when we pulled up to Bruce's property, his house was on one side of the street and the road back into his pastures and the woods was on the right side. So we drove down a road, maybe half a mile or so, and then pulled back up into the campsite, which was really cool. It had this pond cabin that he built with his uncle, a grill, a picnic table, and we just had our own little nook in the forest.
Every spot we find, we're like, this is the one, this we'll come back here, and then it always gets better. And this one truly was so cool. And there's no one else around. He has one campsite on 1,500 acres of land.
Yeah. Super mm-hmm. remote.
Yeah. And Bruce, and thank you so much for letting us stay there. It's such an awesome spot. We hope that you hear this story. Bruce let us know that he had seen a porcupine that was heading over kind of this way
at the entrance when he was pulling into the our side of the lot.
And so just wanted to let us know, because the dogs are running around, that there's a porcupine around. So,
yeah,
you know, we thanked him, and good to know we'll keep the dogs closer.
Yeah, definitely.
Knowing that, because we've all seen Homeward Bound, and you don't want your dog to get in touch with a porcupine.
We were aware we were out in the woods, so we kept him close and had a good first day there. We went sightseeing. You know, by the time we got back to the campsite, it was dark, and we grilled, hung out, did some stargazing, went to bed because we were tired, and got up super early the next day. That morning, we made breakfast, and I had my speaker playing some music, and we had been getting ready to go out sightseeing for the day. I get out of that outhouse, and I randomly heard something in the woods off to the left of me, and I thought I heard people laughing. It sounded like it might be kids, and I was like, who would be hiking here with their kids right now? And I didn't think much of it. I looked to the left, and then I did a double take, like, well, my speaker was just on. Maybe, like, that came from my phone. I just didn't pay it any mind. I thought it was in my head, so.
You thought your mind was playing tricks on you.
I did.
Mm-hmm. And we do that all the time. Everybody. You hear something, or you think you see something, and my eyes are playing tricks on me, or my mind's playing tricks on me. Mm-hmm. But what if all those coincidences and all those weird scenarios, what if even just half or a quarter were indeed something paranormal or strange? So it's the next day. Or later on that day, and it's nighttime. I don't know about this story, what happened with you. So we did more stargazing that night, but it's late now. We're packing up. We're going to bed. Melissa and the dogs are in the cabin. I'm walking across the lot to go pick up a tiki torch and put it out. When I'm getting the tiki torch, I hear what sounded like laughing in the woods. And it's pitch black out. There's no light. And we're remote. 1,500 acres of land. We're in the wilderness. You know, there's nothing around. And it's remote up there. And I thought I heard laughing. So I looked over. It's pitch black. I couldn't see anything. I'm like, okay. And I double-taked. Same thing that Melissa did. I looked back over. And nothing. Now I'm just kind of a little weirded out. But I'm like, my mind's playing tricks on me. My ears are playing tricks on me. Whatever. I'm going to get back to the cabin, though. And I'm going to walk a little bit faster than I normally do with my chill walk.
Yeah.
And so I got back into the cabin. I lowered the windows down. The night before, when I went out, I thought I was hearing some stuff in the woods, too. And I was creeped out. You know, I got done as fast as possible. Got back inside. Okay. I'm safe again. But there was something creepy at night that I noticed the night before. It's strange.
And I'm just remembering the owl sound we heard that night because we were grilling.
It was pitch dark when we heard the owl.
Yeah. I asked you what it was. I wasn't quite sure. It didn't sound like owls that we usually hear, like in our woods or.
If I hadn't heard something similar like that 2 years before, I would have been way more freaked out.
Yeah.
It's not a normal sounding owl hooting, and it's one of those screecher owls. It's one of those messed up, they sound terrifying owls. And I just remember when I was a senior in high school, there was a screecher owl outside my window, and I heard something, and then I opened my window to look, and it was just a screecher owl, and it started screaming at me and scared me. But a couple hours before I heard the laughing, we heard that owl or whatever it was doing its screech. It's, I'm not even going to try to imitate it. It sounded kind of like this. Melissa asked me, like, what is that? And I'm like, that's an owl.
Yeah.
Because me and my brother had heard something similar.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin. And it was creepy. Like, you heard it. They don't sound friendly. They sound creepy as hell. So we also heard that right before it. Either way, now we're heading home. I don't know your story that you heard laughing in the woods.
Yeah.
You didn't hear my story.
No.
That
we didn't tell each other.
We didn't tell each other because we didn't think it was anything too crazy. We just thought our minds were playing tricks on us. So as we're driving home, I wanted to say what I heard just to hear your thoughts. So I was like, so when we were packing up last night, when we were getting ready to go to bed, you and the dogs were inside. And when I was going to get the tiki torch, you know, I didn't want to sound crazy. You know, I was like, I thought I heard laughing in the woods and it was weird. And I double taked, you know, it's pitch black, but I thought I heard laughing. Mm-hmm. And I told you.
I was like giggling, like laughter. I was like, I did too.
And this has never happened. And we've been camping a lot. Over the past 2 years. We camp as often as we can. It's so fun.
Yeah. Well, I've never had an experience like where I think I hear a ghost or a spirit, or we've captured a lot of unidentified flying objects and orbs in the sky.
Local. Right now down with us, the purple orbs that we've been filming, the orbs in the trees, but the purple orb is unreal.
I know.
And
it's so weird.
We posted that, and I'm curious what people think. Can anyone explain why a purple orb is randomly showing up in our film?
I just had never experienced hearing things, though. I've seen a lot, just never experienced. It almost felt like it was just in my head. Mm. It felt like it was in my head.
Yes, that's what I thought, too. It was very strange and eerie. So now we have this connection. We're creeped out. The first place that my mind goes, because I've been researching a lot of the lore of the land out here and paranormal stuff along with UFOs, other paranormal things. And my mind immediately jumped to a puckwudgie. Puckwudgie is what they're called.
The footage you showed me, it must have been from the Bridgewater Triangle documentary. I had never heard of it. I thought it was the strangest name for an entity. A cryptid is what they're considered. But they were creepy looking.
The Bridgewater Triangle documentary. Definitely check it out. It's totally worth watching. It was made a while ago. You can definitely tell the people who made it, they don't have a huge budget for making documentaries and everything, but they made it excellent, and they had testimonials from people. They did the pictures. Some of them were just kind of funny. The picture that they show of the puckwudgie was so creepy and weird. Like, oh my god, if I saw that thing, I'd be freaked out. Like,
Bill Russo's story, he has the most famous one. He saw it. I don't think he actually got a picture of it, but it was over in Raynham, Massachusetts, which is like 30 minutes down the road from us. So it's one of the most popular folklore cryptids they talk about besides Bigfoot.
In New England,
yeah.
That's pretty big, but a lot of people don't know it. It's big in the world of people who do research this stuff. They know puckwudgies.
Yeah.
But your average person has no idea what you're talking about. Puck what? What
I
did
know.
You just say?
That's what I said.
And Bill, when he had his experience in Raynham, and he tells his story in that documentary, the puckwudgie was talking to him. And it was speaking in gibberish. He didn't know what it was saying, but then what he was hearing was Iwanchu, and it was talking to him, Kier, Iwanchu. And then as he thought about it more, he thought it could be saying, trying to communicate with him, saying, we want you, come here. Iwanchu, Kier, we want you, come here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And that's creepy. It'll send a shiver up your spine. So we've now made the connection in the car. We're talking about it on the way home. Maybe it was a puckwudgie. Who knows? Let's go back and start doing more research on puckwudgies. So we start watching this 20-minute video on YouTube about puckwudgies. And it was super creepy, dark.
Yeah.
Portraying them in a very dark light.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about more, that they're not all dark. They're all different. There's duality in nature, good and bad, and everything. And they're describing what a puckwudgie is. And they have quills on their back like a porcupine. So imagine a gong going off in your heart and your stomach.
You read that on an article before we opened up YouTube, because you read it to me. You read it to me, and I'm like, what?
Oh,
porcupine?
Yeah.
Like one Bruce song?
Your face, because you're just like, no, not a porcupine. Because when we read that, it was just like the gong, and like we're just like, no way.
That's what
Bruce told us when we got there. I saw a porcupine coming over here. And from the back, puckwudgies are 2 to 3 feet tall. So if they're crawling, they are the same size as a porcupine. So now we have the connection of the porcupine. Oh, my God.
Right. I thought that was such a strange coincidence, because usually they aren't coincidences.
Right.
So it just seems pretty far out. But also I was like, what the heck? So then you found that 20-minute documentary.
And then we learn that when this happens to people, the people that have told their stories, that they hear laughter.
Yeah, and that they hear childlike laughter, like giggling, which is what it sounded like to me, which is why it startled me so much, because it sounded just like those giggles that you would hear in like a haunted house or a scary movie. It was just like that classic sound.
It sounded just like this. Would you be creeped out if you heard that in the woods?
Some describe them as having childlike energy. Some folklore says they try to confuse you or lure you into the woods.
Yes, lure you and convince you to walk off a cliff.
It's really hard to believe it unless you've experienced something like it. And then you're just like, no, I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened.
Yes.
There's all of these different realms and
different dimensions.
Yeah, the dimensions. There's different dimensions. So they got to cross over somehow.
There's a lot of different theories about them and their roles. And some of them bring good news or give you wisdom or mm-hmm. knowledge or help guide you.
Yeah.
That they could be spiritual guides. And then there's some stories where they can be demonic and trick you and play pranks on you or lead you to your death.
Yeah.
And that they can communicate with you inside your brain telepathically. At my last role, I had met a lady who owned a tanning salon in Wareham, Massachusetts. We were chatting, and I brought up that we have a podcast and we're making a documentary on this type of stuff and UFOs. And she brought up to me her story that she had once, and she told it, and she was a kid and she was in the woods, and this creature came up to her about 2 to 3 feet tall. It was hairy, and it was talking to her inside of her brain, and she was saying to it, I'm gonna go tell on you, I'm gonna tell everybody that I saw you. And the creature told her that they're not gonna believe you in her head. And I think I asked her if it was hairy, and she's like, yes. And I'm like, what you saw, I believe, was a puckwudgie. This was months ago, before we've had our experience. Shit, a puckwudgie, a what? I'm like, yes, exactly. And then I pulled up some stuff on the phone and was showing it. She's like, oh my God, that's it.
Oh my gosh.
She's like, that's it.
Really?
And yes, we need to go stop there and see if she wants to maybe do a part two.
Yeah.
So there's that connection, and it's so creepy and weird. but the different stories on, you know, duality, good and bad, that some are good and bring wisdom and knowledge, and then there's the bad ones that do that, and they come at different times, and it's just so strange. Every civilization and culture around the world all have their short people stories.
There's Wampanoag folklore, there's the Ojibwe tribe. They all have different, slightly different terms for Pukwudgie, but it basically translates to small man of the forest.
Mm-hmm. So yes, we can correlate this. So let's go to Ireland. Leprechauns. Leprechauns are attributed to goodwill for the most part. And that if you ever do get to the end of the rainbow with it and find the pot of gold, the leprechaun will give you a lesson on greed and all this stuff. It's really interesting looking into it. And they take on the image of that culture. So that's why you see the leprechaun looking like the leprechaun and the Irish, little tiny Irishman. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to know more. And we thought the best way to figure it out was, let's go talk to people from the Wampanoag tribe. That's mm-hmm. the main tribe from where we are in the South Shore. They have museums in Mashpee and then in Plymouth. So the next day we booked it down to Mashpee.
Yeah.
The museum was closed. I called the Wampanoag Tribal Council. I filled them in on what we went through and that we had a weird experience. And we wanted to chat with someone there who knows stories about the folklore and the history of the Wampanoag. And we'd want to chat. He goes, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I'm like, okay, no problem. So we flew down to the Plymouth and Patuxent Museum, which is the original rendition of where the settlers landed, the Mayflower, the Pilgrims, and the Wampanoag, and that there's Wampanoag natives, and that there's Wampanoag Native Americans that work there, and that I called and chatted with some people on the phone. It sounded like, yeah, I could stop by. So we went there, chatted with some people. The first guy had told me, isn't that what parents tell their kids so they be good? You know, so he had one rendition that he was brought up with that was probably like, oh, you don't want a Pukwudgie to come get you.
Yeah.
The girl that I was talking to was saying there's a lot of misconceptions about Pukwudgies. We know them as just short people, small people. And that's their story. And I went on to talk about what we found online was that the Wampanoag were initially friendly with the Pukwudgies. They had good relationships. But then jealousy formed when the Wampanoag people started idolizing Mashop, who was a mythical giant. They say mythical, but we've been doing a lot of research on giants. If you haven't listened to our Book of Enoch episode and Book of Giants episode, you should go back and listen to that. Here's that recurring theme of giants in our history. We believe that there's a very, very great chance that those were indeed real. But the Pukwudgies were feeling betrayed by the humans because they started to give more attention to Mashop, the giant. So then they started playing pranks on the humans. And the Wampanoag people complained to Mashop about what was going on. And then Mashop was frustrated at the Pukwudgies. And he picks them all up, shakes them until they're all confused, and he tossed them across America. He threw them across America. That's the story.
Across the whole continent?
That's some of what I found online, that he picked up the Pukwudgies and he threw them.
Which seems crazy, but giants, man.
I believe that Pukwudgies are even in Minnesota, Wisconsin,
Illinois, and like Michigan. There have been stories from, the Midwest,
too. So that's how then they would have spread. So then that plan backfired. They returned, the Pukwudgies. It says that they returned with vengeance. And some of the pranks that they would play on humans turned deadly.
Some tribes describe Pukwudgies more as like a spiritual thing.
Yes.
I feel like maybe that's what we experienced. It's like you said, the dualities of good and evil. And it says that they can shapeshift and disappear. Just seems like it could be that entity or that spirit that still lives on in the woods. We were talking about how creepy the woods can be.
Yes.
And there are many places that are haunted.
When we looked it up, we saw the first thing when we first started researching it. It said that Pukwudgies, you know, explaining them. And then it goes, especially in Vermont. That was another one of those gongs going off in our head when we first got home and we're Vermont?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of different stories. We're just trying to find the truth, and we're trying to bring all different theories into the mix because no one right now truly knows.
That's what I feel
because
like.
Because there's this theme of small people. It's across mm-hmm. the entire world. Small people aren't just for Ireland and leprechauns or puckwudgies in the Wampanoag tribe or elves or the Nordic elf people who sound really sweet. They're blue, apparently.
And gargoyles. They've been depicted on old world buildings. There's definitely something to it.
The legend ends with puckwudgies' relationship got bad. Children began getting kidnapped, villages were being burned, and just overall harming Wampanoag people. Some of the research we found that puckwudgies were behind Mashop, the giant's death. Before that happened, instead of dealing with the puckwudgies himself, he sent his five sons, the Nephilim's sons, his five, you know, if this is a giant, this is a son of Watcher, a fallen angel, Anunnaki. If you go back, listen to that episode if you haven't. And he sent his five giant sons, but the puckwudgies lured them into deep grass and killed them with their magical arrows. So other theories are saying that they deal with fire and arrows, and they have magical arrows and poison arrows. And
AKA their quills on their porcupine backs.
Yeah, and then they could shoot them out. You know where I also see these little things? The Mummy Returns. The tiny little mummies. The tiny little guys in the forest. Yeah, I'm just making that connection right now. And they shoot the little quills out and we'll have to watch
it. I feel like I've seen something like that. You read Harry Potter. Somewhere online it said there's some reference to puckwudgies in Harry Potter or some similar cryptid.
It was Dobby the House Elf. Okay. But I don't remember in Harry Potter there ever being the term puckwudgie.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
We're just curious if any of you listening have ever heard of puckwudgies, first of all. I'm just curious if you've had any paranormal activity, because it was kind of a first for us, besides all the crazy orbs and light beings. Yeah. And it was just interesting. We had to come on and share it with you. It's pretty wild.
And we are looking for this type of stuff. When we go out and we're searching for UFOs, we're trying to figure out the full potential of our brains and our history and how we've gotten here. Yeah. And to do that, you got to find out for yourself. And we've seen more crazy stuff in the sky than I've ever seen in my entire life since learning about conscious contact and what Dr. Greer talks about. Was I expecting to hear Laughing in the Woods? No. But it's an interesting story.
Yeah.
And it's worth looking into more. We got to get a camera now that when we're filming up at the sky, we're going to be filming the woods right in front of us too.
I hope you liked our little campfire story, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget, you can click the donate link in our description box below if you want to donate to It Can't Be a Joke.
And please consider leaving us a 5-star review or whatever the highest review is on your streaming platform. That'll really help. Will help us in growing and getting the word out.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.